Hide your kids, block your webcam, who you gonna call, and forgotten but not dead. These stories and more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch. Good morning and welcome to July 19th, 2020 episode of MSP Dispatch. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, brother. I think it's the 2022, right? Or 2020?
We'll go with that, too. I'll take anything at this point. I just recently learned how much Netflix I've watched over my lifetime and this year, and I'm crushed. So I'm not even...
So you're stuck back.
Anymore.
You want to rewind a little bit?
Oh, yeah, I want to pretend I did more productive things this year, but Netflix has proven me otherwise. But we're not here about Netflix, we're here about the news, so let's get into it.
Let's get into the news.
As reported by the Daily Dot, viral TikToker McKay J posted a video where her laptop screen was frozen with a webcam photo of herself in the kitchen. The laptop bore a message, not at desk, action applied. Please get approval from supervisor to retry. Subsequent videos advise that McKay's employer is a customer service firm which works on behalf of fintech firm Klarna. They do not allow their employees to turn off their webcam. However, they use the webcams to monitor employees and take several pictures throughout the day at work. If the employee gets up, the laptop is then locked. After posting the video, the employee was later dismissed, and then another video was put up advising she was under suspension while HR investigates her TikTok videos. Tony, with the prevalence of work from anywhere, employers are struggling to adapt to adequate management styles. But this seems a step too far. What are your thoughts?
Nobody wants to see what I'm doing on my webcam. Nobody wants to anonymously log in and see a picture of what I'm doing at any point in time. That being said, I don't want anybody looking at what I'm doing anonymously or randomly. I think that invades so many rights of privacy. I mean, that's analogous to a landlord putting in a webcam in a fire alarm to just make sure everything's okay. No, there's nothing okay about that. However, the other side of that is, what are the mechanisms to regulate a workforce when the workforce is not only out of touch, but out of sight entirely? Is there a proper way to do that? Are you breaching that, hey, trust me scenario? And is the relationship going to be damaged by any mechanism at that point? And I believe the answer is yes. However, those mechanisms are almost assumed when you're inside a physical, tangible workplace. I have so many mixed emotions. I want to hear about everybody's input on this. I truly don't believe there is a right answer at this time. But I don't feel comfortable with anybody logging into my webcam. I don't feel comfortable logging into anyone else's webcam. Give me your thoughts, Ray. I'm stretching here.
I mean, it's funny because Dave Sobel, who was on our dispatch last week, he had covered a story where some high percentage of employees wanted more autonomy and for their employers to trust them. But the same high percentage of employees did not trust their coworkers to be productive. So it seems to me there's a communication problem. There's a trust problem. I can only speak for myself. We've been working from anywhere for a couple of years now. We don't do that micromanaging thing. We rely on really good communication and we set standards for how to communicate, what the expectations are, what the timeliness things are. But I think the webcam monitoring is probably a step too far. It's not uncommon to have mechanisms where if you walk away from your desk to lock the computer. I actually don't have a problem with that. That is best practice, especially we're talking about a fintech firm, right? That they should be exhibiting best in class security. I don't necessarily see a problem for that. If it's something along the lines maybe of like some automated or some AI method of looking for, you know, body shapes, and when the body shape is missing, locking the computer, maybe. That's as a security practice, not as a resource management practice. You get what I'm saying? This goes along the lines of we were talking about Finn, about with Connor Swallen from Finn, right? Talking about phishing and security awareness. It's about teaching the employee to increase their skill sets. It's not about smacking the employee because they did something wrong. I think it kind of pushes the employee the wrong direction. Am I off base here? Am I crazy?
It reminds me of the movie Lethal Weapon when he's sitting on the toilet. And if you get off the toilet, the toilet paper, it says boom, you know, I'm flashing way back. I'm going way back. I don't know if the youngins are going to remember this one.
That's all I'm saying, man. I ain't got time for this.
But I will say that, you know, having Dave Sobel on was amazing. And ever since he was on and we had interaction, what I installed allow me to get on his webcam. And I will say he's always working. I'm watching all the time. He's always working. And, you know, that spyware I installed on his computer is, I'm just kidding, I'm totally joking. But I am really, really struggling with what is the right placement of that regulation mechanism. I just don't see the right answer. I would love to hear feedback. What do you think is right? Is a webcam viewing randomly, is that going too far? Is that not far enough?
So you could always go the opposite direction and just put your faces on recorded media, put it on YouTube, Pocket Cast, Spotify, iTunes, like we've done, and just eliminate that altogether. But yeah. If you have comments, hit us up in the comments below, or maybe give us a call. Tony, who are you going to call?
Holy Ghost ransomware hitting SMBs and the MSPs themselves. As listed in MSPAlert.com, a North Korean group dubbed Holy Ghost has been using ransomware payloads to compromise small businesses and their MSPs. The attack surfaces on public-facing web applications and content management systems. Think CMS systems such as WordPress, for example. The Holy Ghost can compromise your network, and once that happens, it exfiltrates a copy's victim files, encrypts the content of a victim's device, replaces their file names with a Base64 encoded version of the original file, and then renames the extension. The Holy Ghost group also maintains a .onion site to interact with the victims, sending the victim a sample of the files as proof that it was in fact stolen, and demanding payment in Bitcoin to restore access to these files. The Holy Ghost group then threatens to publish these victims, the victim's data on social media or send it to their customers if no payment is submitted. From a protection standpoint, Microsoft Defender for Business and Microsoft 365 Business Premium include features to help these organizations protect against the Holy Ghost. Ray, I have so many questions. The prevalence of ransomware, the larger enterprise was typically the only real target at risk. It's now down to the SMB market, which is just traumatic. Is that because of the automation of the attacks? Is that because there's more money in that particular segment of the pyramid in business? And frankly, does the power of Microsoft compel you from the Holy Ghost? I don't know if the young people are going to get that one, but trust me, it's funny.
I mean, I'm not too worried about this, because as far as my understanding from Catholic school when I was a kid, you bring an old priest and a new priest, and something old and something. No, wait, that's different. I can see the point. And of course, there's a joke in there somewhere, the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Malware. But, you know, I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. I have 20 years of pent up, you know, Catholic school. But, you know, I look at this and it's not surprising to me, right? We're casting, instead of doing targeted big attacks, we're talking about casting a wider net, presumably with lower amounts of security, presumably with lesser amounts of resources to combat these things. It makes sense it would go after these targets, right? Now, I will say, while malware may be targeted, you know, what's really happening out there in the world is they're just spraying and praying, which maybe is a no pun intended here. But the truth of the matter is they're just putting everything out there to see what happens. Our next story will go into that a little bit as well. And while SMBs, I think, are great targets for no, they're not great targets. Please don't attack them because I said something. I did not say go attack them. But while SMBs, I think, make for juicy targets, they're probably not going to make $1 million off of one. they can probably hit several at a time, and just it's a law of averages, right? They're just they know they're going to hit more for less amounts of effort. It makes a lot of sense to me. Unfortunately, I really hate to say it, but as a business initiative, I understand why they're doing it.
I feel like the smaller organizations are able to self-actuate, as opposed to a larger organization. There's, you know, there's the, everything from red tape to political to, you know, from a procedure perspective, the influences by the insurance coverage and what the is the squeeze worth the juice, for lack of a better term, or a juice worth the squeeze, depending on your perspective. And that all has to transpire at a large organization. In a smaller organization, far more nimble, far more single thread decision making, where they can say, yes, we have the finances, let's just be done with this. Can we guarantee that this is going to be resolved? And then move forward from that point and hopefully get some type of system to prevent that in some shape or another. But maybe the autonomy, like you said, is exactly that, the ability to spray out, or, you know, cast an amazingly large amount of nets and hopefully catch a whole bunch of smaller fish rather than wait for one larger fish to make a move. It's terrifying, and I'm very interested to see how this goes. We talk about ransomware every single episode, every single week, and we're hunting for other things to cover, but it is that prolific. So please, everyone, please, please, please stay as acutely aware of your situation, your current status, where you'd like to be, what best practices there are, and what current ransomware groups are out there, what the tactics they're using, and fill those gaps immediately as fast as possible. So with that, Ray, what's your next story?
As reported by Bill Tulis of Bleeping Computer, threat analysts have unlocked a large-scale campaign targeting Elastic's VoIP servers with more than 500,000 malware samples over the last 3 months. Elastic's is an IP PBX, or a telephony system, that was released under open source for many years. The last version of Elastic's was made public in 2016, and the software was later sold to 3CX. Elastic's has not been updated since and is now considered end of life. The attackers were using a remote code execution vulnerability, RCE CVE-2021-45461, which carries a severity rating of 9.8 out of 10. Among other services, Elastic's heavily leveraged Apache, CentOS, PHP, and the attack is still active today. Tony, this goes beyond updating and patching. There are thousands of servers out there that shouldn't even be in production anymore. What are we going to learn?
I'm sorry. I'm literally shutting down all my systems right now just because I'm. So I just want to be very clear to the audience. I said 5,000. You said no, 10,000. And there is a correction on the show, and the new number is
500,000 samples. And I don't have a white kitty today to, you know, do the Dr. Evil thing, but samples. In 3 months. That's the crazy thing. 500,000 samples in 3 months on servers that should not be in production for the last 6 years. CentOS is end of life. Elastic's is end of life. Those PHP versions that are there cannot be updated. Like, these should not be, and yet they're out there. And then it goes into your story, right? Why they're attacking SMBs, because they don't have the resources to keep up with this stuff.
Well, listen, if that particular community that's maintaining or running those servers is doing it on purpose to keep us in business and give us story content, we appreciate that to a point, but now we have to stop. We have enough content. You can remove those servers to everyone out there with the 500,000 different environments that should not be up and running. Please stop.
See, last week it was the news you need to know, but you may not want to know. Now, I've said SMBs are good targets, and you're saying they're making this news for us? I think we're getting the wrong message out there.
You're sending out the wrong signals. Oh, Ray, this is terrifying, though. From a security perspective, micro-segmentation is critical to enforce, you know, security and authentication and regulation. And what's happening is they're creating such broad structures and libraries that it's, hey, just plug it in and it'll do its job. But the micro-segmentation is still needed in there. In this particular case, what's happening is that these servers that just happen to be running are so generalized in not just a pool, not just a lake, but an ocean level, it's almost impossible to remember what you deployed and when. They're sunsetting Exchange 2013 come June of next year. And I mean, we're sunsetting old Exchange servers as we speak, 2013 servers. And you're thinking, 2013, that's almost 10 years old. Yeah, because it's locked down, but it's there. We still work really hard to maintain that stuff, but it's still there. So let's talk about the servers that are old and that, and the architectures that the technology that is not managed, not maintained, older than that, that people have deployed just because it works and they don't think about it. That is what is causing this issue, the complacency. Just because it works doesn't mean we should look at it. Just because it works doesn't mean we should plan a timeline to sunset it and evolve it into the next generation of something in a more, much more secure manner. I have so much anger and frustration over that. However, I definitely sympathize for all of the IT admins when you're trying to deal with massive, massive deployments. So with that, sorry for my rant, Ray. Wait, finish it up. Take me home. Land this plane.
I'm going to go back to being my curmudgeon. There's no cats here, so I can be the angry guy. I absolutely blame those IT people that had those systems in place for the last 6 years and didn't touch them. You know what you were doing. You're wrong. But in a case of vendors doing right, we have a teaser for a special report that's going to be coming out tomorrow on, and in an interview we did with Tracy Orisco of Huntress on their Neighborhood Watch program. But let's talk about this Neighborhood Watch program. What is it exactly?
So I think it goes back to the thing that you just said, right, which is adding value to the community. Huntress has always believed that in order to be a good partner, we've got to give more than we get, or at least every bit as much as we get. The Neighborhood Watch program is designed to be a $5 million investment into the MSP community. Our job with the program is to help MSPs protect their house. The goal is looking at internal licensing, as well as leveling up cybersecurity status of MSPs.
And that sounds amazing. I mean, a $5 million investment's no small number at all.
I am really, really interested to hear about that. But until then, let's talk about notable mentions. Take it home.
On Saturday, July 16th, the National Suicide Hotline will transition from their 10-digit number to a more easily memorizable 3-digit number, 988, in an effort to make their services easier to reach. The National Suicide Hotline Designation Act was signed into law in 2020 and authorized 988 for this purpose. All carriers are required to be in compliance as of last Saturday. The internet's full of thousands of tools to make your life easier, and some point out that you need to get back to work. NetflixCalculator.com allows you to take an export from your Netflix account and will tell you exactly how many hours you've been Netflix and chilling. Download your account activity by logging in Netflix, click on your account, click on your profile, click on viewing activity, and you'll be presented with a download. Upload that to the tool and be amazed at exactly how much time you wasted over your lifetime. In a story reported by Alex Castro of The Verge, Congresswoman Anna Eshoo of California and Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon wrote a letter urging the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, to address deceptive practices of virtual private networking providers. The letter asked the FTC to go after providers that engage in deceptive advertising or make false assertions about the range of their services' privacy. The letter cites a Consumer Reports article that indicate 75% of the most popular VPNs misrepresent their products or make misleading claims that could give a false sense of security. Earlier this month, the FTC reaffirmed that it will take action against companies that share health, location, and other sensitive data. Tony, what do you got for the notable mentions?
And possibly the most intriguing notable mention. Jennifer Lopez, yes, that Jennifer Lopez, has changed her legal name after marrying Ben Affleck. Yes, the superstar couple were married late Saturday night in a whirlwind Vegas ceremony. Changed her legal name. After talking about Miss Jennifer Lynn Affleck, let's talk about some community feedback.
In feedback on our last YouTube video, JobTech says Duo push notifications. While I love Duo push notifications, Duo has a super MSP friendly program with NFR. Unfortunately, it would not have stopped this exact attack. Maybe if it was geofenced, maybe if it had certain IP restrictions. However, Duo in itself, because it's proxying whatever the host website's doing and giving that back to the end user, it still would have been subject to this attack. So while I love Duo, unfortunately, it would not have helped here. And feedback on the RMSP sub, Devin Sysadmin says, what's up with all these spam postings? So we just put out a promo for this. We are going to be doing this every Tuesday and Friday, bringing out news to the MSP community. So you can get this in whatever form you want. If you don't like the articles we're covering, tell us. We can cover other stuff. If we're covering stuff you are bored with and you've heard it elsewhere, please let us know. All feedback is welcome. We're doing this for you guys. In any case, at least I'm happy you're listening and watching. Thanks, Devin, for posting. Tony, that's it for the feedback. We have some community events coming up. What's going on?
Let's talk about some community events. Great stuff is happening. July 19th, today at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Networking Mindset presented by the Channel Program. Also on the 19th, today at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the evolution of the Huntress Managed Security Platform and what's next. Also on the 19th at 2 p.m. today, Everything MSP OIT VoIP Webinar, 10 VoIP Myths for MSPs. Everyone's been waiting for that one. At the exact same time on the 19th, 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Cyber Insurance AMA. Ask Me Anything with Reed Wellock and Wes Spencer. On the 20th, that's tomorrow, and the 21st at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, SMB Tech Fest Q3. On the 21st at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Smoking Hot Tech Channel Pitch presented by the Channel Program. And finally, on the 21st at 1 p.m., SMB SIEM, That Doesn't Suck, featuring Blue Mirror.
So, Tony, I think that takes us out for this episode of MSP Dispatch. I appreciate you as always. Are you going to go look for notes, or are you going to go check your Netflix account?
You know what? I'm calling the Ghostbusters. I'm going to research my VPN. And I am going to stay as far away from Netflix as possible, unless I'm on a good VPN. That's just the way it's going to be.
So I'm hoping Father White, he's long since passed, but I'm hoping he's not watching this from above. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Malware, have a great day, everybody.
Take care.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Tony, remember when I said 10,000, not 5,000? Now we're up to 500,000. As reported by Bill Tulis of Building Computer. You threw me off. Hold on.
I threw you off. You threw me off. I thought you were joking. I'm like, I can't. He's serious. He's serious.
No, I wish I was. I wish I was. All right.